Halfway through the show, you're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show, Saturday afternoon, April 5th on TSN 1290. Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, and David Manuk in studio, on and off the air, of course, by Tim Debenham. You're listening to Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC Game Day on TSN 1290. Jets Leafs kickoff at 6 o'clock from Air Canada Center. Hustler and Lawless follow us at 3 p.m., and then Rick Ralph will be following Hustler and Lawless. Always fun to listen to Rick Ralph. He'll be taking your post-game calls as usual. I got one more gig with Rick on Thursday against the Bruins, the last home game of the season, and it's always a pleasure to work with Rick. This segment is brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, the official deli of Legal Curve Hockey, conveniently located at Corden Lanark in the Corden Village Mall. Bernstein's is a family-owned and operated traditional-style deli. Take it home or eat it there. In their full-service restaurant, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com.
Hey, Richie,
David Manuk. Well,
this is the second show in a row
that
you've brought in these garlic pita chips with roasted red pepper hummus. Hummus.
You got to say the ch.
And it's unbelievable.
That's amazing. I've eaten the whole bag.
I've eaten an entire garbage bag, I think, now.
Just some game notes for Jets fans. According to our good friend Ken Wiebe of the Winnipeg Sun, said that Evander Kane stayed on the ice later than usual. So there's the talk that he may be a healthy scratch.
Wow.
Although when Maurice was pressed to see about any potential lineup changes, said nothing that I'd like to share. So that's interesting. And Little didn't skate this morning. Said Iguchi filled in for him, but Little's expected to play.
That'd be an interesting healthy scratch. He's really, I gotta say, I don't have an issue with Paul Maurice. We're gonna talk about Paul Maurice next segment.
He didn't have a good game versus Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I didn't see him once, but I don't have an issue with Paul Maurice doing these healthy scratches in general because it sends a message. But it's a lot easier to healthy scratch guys when you're at the playoffs. I'll say that. It's a lot easier to send a message when there's no pressure to win.
So good point.
Okay, Dave, you wanna invite some Twitter action on the show? Why don't you give people the information about Twitter and Illegal Curve?
What is Twitter, Dave?
Do you want a complete tutorial? Or no, you can tweet us at Illegal Curve. Give us your thoughts on people that you're disappointed in and people that you're happy with. I mean, we're getting a lot of tweets from us. Kenny B. just wrote, I don't like that Little said that. I like the guy and that gave me a bad taste. I have no problem with what Ladd did, which I think is the overriding sense.
Yeah. Any other tweets, send them over at Illegal Curve. We'll try and read them. Here is the audio, partial audio, and this is, he went on for about 20, 30 minutes. Mike Francesa, WFAN in New York City, the afternoon sports show there. His comments about Daniel Murphy, who's a New York Mets second baseman who opted to miss a few games or a couple games to see the birth of his son.
Then everybody wanted to be there, which I completely understand, and I have no problem with being there. I don't know why you need 3 days off. I'm going to be honest. I mean, you see the birth and you get back. I mean, what are you doing the first couple of days? Maybe you take care of the other kids. Well, you got to have someone do that if you're a Major League Baseball player. I'm sorry, you do. Because that's the only thing you're doing. You're not helping. Your wife doesn't need your help the first couple of days. You know that. You're not doing much those first couple of days with the baby that's just born. Let's say the day after you get out of the hospital. But they're allowed to take these guys take all take off now. And I had three kids and worked every day they were born. I mean, I was at every birth. Well, I had twins. But, I was at the birth and worked the next day. I worked until a half hour before they were born, went across, was in the room when they were born, and worked the next day. So, I didn't see any reason not to be working. I mean, I went to the hospital at night when I left there. I went to the hospital for 2 straight weeks. My kids were in the neonatal for 2 weeks.
That's Mike Francesa. That audio is courtesy of WFAN in New York City. So that is the
there's nothing courteous about what he just said.
Yeah, there's nothing courteous about what he just said, but that is the most influential voice in New York radio going over to speak to millions of people about what happened. And the reaction is just different. I just points back to the Brian Little comment, how it only happened in Winnipeg. That's the biggest sports city in the world, New York City. I mean, you talk about the back pages of the New York Post. And Ben Kuzma in the first hour spoke about John Tortorella trying to get the team in the back pages of the New York, Post, New York, all the New York papers, the Daily News, and every other paper that they have there. So don't just say that stuff kind of stuff happens in Winnipeg. And Boomer Esiason, the former Cincinnati Bengals quarterback, said that his wife ought to have had a C-section.
It's insane.
Crazy. It's crazy. I disagree with both of the commentators. With all three of the commentators that we're kind of discussing. But I guess the point of the conversation is when you paint a city some way, realize that the pressure here is not the same as it is in other places.
And I think the fact of the matter is that if you're someone who can handle it, you're going to want to play with the pressure. I mean, most guys, look, playing in New York, they call it the greatest city in the world. But, coming along with playing in New York is that sort of pressure.
Right.
And when you're playing in a Canadian market, I mean, look, fair or foul, like I said, we all disagree. The three of us disagree. Yeah. And most people.
Tim agrees.
But most of us, and I would suggest most people, would disagree with these three guys.
Right.
Right? So there's no question about it. But the fact of the matter is, those kind of conversations are going to be happening.
And it is old-fashioned to not, I mean, back in the day, it was uncommon for this to happen. Let's acknowledge that. And these, you're talking about a little more old-school thoughts.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, in the case that we're talking about in the baseball, it's now mandated in their CBA.
Yes.
So I mean, this is something, it's not like he did something that was untoward.
That's right. No, of course.
But it's to me, like I said, I try and figure out Little's comments because are they directed at the media? Like, oh, of course, the media would bring this up, which, again, like I said, it's going to happen in Vancouver. It's going to happen in Toronto. It's going to happen in New York. It's going to happen in Chicago. It's going to happen in all the major cities. Now, you might find some cities where they might not ask it. So there's no guarantee.
What is the problem with taking a day or two off for the birth of your child? I have absolutely,
we agree that that's not the issue. The issue is the criticism. Something that only happens in a small market who's obsessed with hockey or in the biggest markets in the world.
It happens everywhere.
That's the
thing. It happens in England for players that play for Liverpool. I mean, if you can't handle pressure, then that's too bad. You get paid a lot of money to be a professional athlete. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is.
This brings me back to Doug Brown's call on the Free Press because I think that's exactly what he said.
You can't complain about fans complaining because they want their team to win. Sorry, last time I checked, nobody is buying season tickets to the Jets, hoping their team loses.
That's right.
Nobody that's a fan of the Jets. I guess it's a little bit different if you're a fan of another team and you go to cheer on another team, because as we saw against the Pittsburgh Penguins at NPS Center, there's a lot of Pittsburgh Penguins fans. That's their right. But for the majority of the people at the MTS Center, they want their team to win. And so they have the right to be critical. They're the ones that are paying these guys salaries. Who's paying their salaries?
That's right.
The fans that are paying for the jerseys, the fans that are buying NHL center ice,
the fans
that are buying TSN
Jets. Exactly right.
So what I'm saying the fans have the right, and they do that a lot on the station. You've done the post-game show more than I have. I've done it once, but we've had calls on this show too.
Uh-huh.
Fans are going to be critical, and they have the right. I mean, this isn't...
You want to get paid $5 million a year, deal with the pressure.
You're a lawyer. I work in marketing. Dave's a business owner. People aren't going to come to our job and complain about the job we're doing, but we're not professional athletes. That's part of the job. People don't pay to watch me work.
That's true.
Which would be really depressing.
I would pay to watch you work.
Well, it's just I'm just surrounded by a lot of donuts and spreadsheets, but it's, I mean.
Are the spreadsheets about donuts or the donuts on the spreadsheets?
Like, I just keep a spreadsheet of the donuts, different donuts.
Donut consumption.
No, but Richie, that's the way it is. And I'm not saying that the Jets or other players don't know this, but anytime you kind of get a little bit antsy it's like, guys, it comes with the territory. When the team isn't doing well, are the fans going to be happy about that? No, of course not.
And by the way, I mean, Troy, I got killed for the stuff that he was saying here. Again, we disagree, but if you listen to some of the
that's calls, Troy's opinion. Everybody's entitled to have their own opinion.
If you listen to some of the calls in New York, I mean, a lot of guys agree with Mike Francesa. So again, I mean,
don't agree how he's saying. Well, I still worked, and
everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and yeah. I definitely don't agree with that. Again, I don't have if the team is okay with it, and it's especially in this case, it's under the CBA. I think it's a personal decision, and you have to respect. This brings up another aspect of this, which I think bothered a lot of people, is that when you're talking about personal life, that's when you got to stop being critical of people. That's the age old debate in sports. That should we be critical of athletes and their personal lives, or are they entitled, or are they put on a higher pedestal, Richie? Because they're athletes, so they should be role models.
But, I would say in Winnipeg, we certainly don't have a TMZ approach to to journalism. Now, some people would disagree with
and
that.
And you never should.
No, but some people would say that. Some people would say, oh, there's
TMZ's
you know,
garbage.
I saw you on TMZ the other day, but
well,
the
it's garbage. It's paparazzi and fluffy. Like, what do they follow people around getting out of limos? I mean, come on.
At the end of the day,
I cut you off there, Dave.
I think that the market is more apt to heap praise than criticism, in my personal opinion. And I think that a lot of the stuff, you know, if you want to get the glamour and the spotlight, you have to take the heat once in a while. And that's the way it goes. And if you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen. You know? Doesn't mean that the fans won't forgive and be understanding, but at some point, if they don't see a lack, I think the biggest thing is the lack of effort or just criticism of the fan base as a whole for being passionate. Even if so, even that passion sometimes is a little bit blind, I think is unfair.
Rich, if you go to a movie, you have the option to leave that movie and get your money back, right?
You How's can't any do that different? With tickets, right? Well, you can't do it with tickets, but you pay for your ticket, you got your ticket. So that's how it's a little bit different, I guess. When we come back, Paul Maurice may be benching Evander Kane today. That'll be an ongoing story for the remainder of the show. But what we want to talk about is Paul Maurice himself. Seems to want to come back. He's going to be talking to his family. Should the Jets want him back? You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. 1:45 Saturday afternoon. You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. It's the Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC Game Day on TSN 1290. You got a 6 o'clock start. Hustler and Lawless and Rick Rao follow us leading into the start at Air Canada Center. The Leafs in a must-win game against the Jets, who must win or lose. No one doesn't make a difference unless you want to talk about draft standing. I think, Dave, you linked it this morning on the illegalcurve.com morning papers about the Jets draft standing right now. They have they're in the sixth spot.
Yeah.
And they can change, possibly.
6.2%. They went up, even though they were idle no more yesterday, they went up from seventh to sixth. They were eighth the day before. So, I mean, if you're looking for good draft position, that's something to be positive about with this team right now.
That's, I was looking at it in terms of how far they are from the playoffs, how far they are from the bottom.
Well,
I think this whole ridiculous people hoping that they get a better draft position. They're going to try to win these games.
Well, the players try and win, but the fans don't want them to win. Why would they?
But you're hoping for something that the team isn't hoping for.
That's true.
So this is my opinion, and by the way, I'm in the minority on this. We talk to people all the time, and everyone wants the Jets to have a higher draft pick. To me, and this is someone who...
But if it's between making the playoffs and getting a higher draft pick, they want them to make the playoffs. If it's between getting a higher draft pick and getting a lower draft pick, they want them to get a higher draft pick.
You're saying in the last four games where there's no...
I want to see the team that I'm cheering for win. And I don't think, by the way, that there's a big difference between 5 and 7.
There might not be. Fair enough. There might not be. You get Trouba at 9, okay.
What happens if 5 doesn't pan out and 7 does?
I mean, that's possible. But the last year they drafted 13, there was talk they wanted different players, and then they took Morrissey at 13 because guys weren't available.
But you know what I'm saying, though, right, Richie?
What if they got Nikushkin or somebody else?
I think when the Jets, when they were officially eliminated, not with the Pittsburgh game, but really a couple weeks ago when they were eliminated, that's when the talk started. We talked about it on the show. I'm just saying, I personally, whether it's me as a fan of the Jets or I'm a fan of the Blue Jays, any sport, I just don't... I understand with the rationale, get a better pick, but you'd have to hope that whether the pick is 5 or 8, it's going to be a good pick.
Sure.
And I don't...
You're
this isn't
the top 10.
This isn't a deep draft.
No, I mean, it's not a great draft. But
I'm not trying to go against Dave. I'm just saying that Dave brought it up, and to me, I just think it's ridiculous, and I don't think that I would... I just wouldn't want the Jets to lose because of the chance of you maybe getting a better draft pick. That's all I'm saying.
We know Paul Maurice wants to win, and it seems like he wants to come back pending discussions with family and such. Assuming he wants to come back, which appears to be the case, do you two think he should be brought back by the Winnipeg Jets, Ezzy?
Absolutely. His team has played better since Paul Maurice has come along. I don't think you can argue that. And I think as of late, maybe the record has been a little bit worse. But when Paul Maurice first took over, the Jets went on a really nice run there. And he's really... I think I go back to the line matchups that he made, moving Michael Frolik to the first line. I think it's clear now that they're going to stick with that line. And Claude Noel never did that. Just that move alone was really impressive. Not saying that everything is based on that one move, but I think Paul Maurice is the right man for this job, Richie. I really do. I think he's got the experience. I think he knows the X's and O's of hockey, and I think he's a good motivator. And I think that in this small sample size with this team, forget about what he's done with the Leafs and the Hurricanes, because he's had success with those teams. Yeah. I think that what he's done here, he definitely merits to be given a contract. Absolutely. And
how long?
I think for Paul Maurice coming in on this situation, I think maybe 3 years.
3 years. I think if you're going to give him a contract, it has to be 3 years. I don't think any less or more is fair.
You know, it's interesting because I think that his voice coming in as a coach who has, you know, over 1,000 NHL games, it's different than what Claude Noel's voice was, which, you know, Claude Noel was an experienced hockey guy. He was a good guy to talk to. But at the end of the day, sometimes these players just seem to tune him out. And they
when you don't win.
No, but you know what? They threw him under the bus when they questioned his decisions. And I'm thinking of, like, Kane in Chicago, was it, when he didn't play?
Yep, yep.
And Noel said it's for injury reasons. And Kane essentially, you know, told the media that he was fine to play. And I just think, like, I don't think Maurice has that fear, because I think, like, he comes in and says, okay, I've got the experience, I've got the voice, I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to – this team is mine, and I'm going to put my stamp on it. Now, to your point, which you made earlier, why is he not sitting guys like Setoguchi? Why wasn't he sitting him earlier? You know, why?
It didn't take you that long to see that he wasn't doing anything.
Right. But, I mean, again, he was also having to deal with some injuries, right? Like, he had some injuries up to his forwards, and so he had to make some adjustments as a result. But, like, you know, it's just an interesting mesh. I think that they have to give him 3 years, because I think he's not making he's not moving his family here if he doesn't have that sort of certainty.
Yeah.
And I think that from the sounds of it, like, I mean, again, I hear him almost every day talk, and if you actually listen, his mentality, if you ask me what he would do if it was his decision alone, there's no question in my mind he's taking the job. Because he doesn't talk about this team right now.
Yeah, he does, on an ongoing basis.
He talks about it on an ongoing basis. Yeah. And it's interesting because he said his two things when he first got here, like day one, was get to the playoffs, which, I mean, the reality is he needs to say that. That's what the fans want to hear. Does that maybe necessarily, is that his number one? You know,
he's a salesman too.
He's very well versed in what to say. He's been in the media.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's savvy.
For sure.
So he knows the order, whether that's his true order or not, that is somewhat irrelevant. So he says making the playoffs, that's important. And then the second thing is building the proper structure, a structure that he wants. Now, if you're the guy who's only going to be in there for a little bit, do you really care that much about the structure? You want to fluff your resume. You want to kind of
–
you really actually pretty much just want to throw this team kind of right to the wall to get them to that playoff so you can show outside forces, you know, other teams that may have openings, hey, look at what I was able to do with this sad sack Jets team. Now, I, again, believe that he is really kind of trying to form this team into the image that he has going forward, and it's simply a matter of whether his family is prepared to make the move up to Winnipeg.
So, and that might have been, sorry, Richie, that might have been one of the failings of Claude Noel, that he was not taking this team in a direction. He was not molding this team into what he visualized this team being. And that's kind of, to me, why he was ultimately let go. Because things had, again, got to a point where the team was losing.
Well, the players, players gave up on him at the end. The Columbus-Tampa game, they didn't even try. I mean, they have 13 shots in the Tampa game. Columbus, they were just awful. I mean, you knew right there they didn't want to play for him anymore.
And the way Paul Maurice talks about this Winnipeg Jets team, you can tell that again, he said this, and we don't know if he's coming back, because he does have to let the team know and make his decision with his family. But I think the way he talks, especially in that coaches' summit, I thought that was a really good job by Huss and Gary.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell that he likes what he sees in this team, because as Dave mentioned at the top of the hour, last hour, this still is a very young team with a lot of potential and growth, and it's all about harnessing that growth and potential and turning this team into a team that can win in the playoffs.
Like, the realistic expectations for this team are not playoffs this year. So I think he knows that he comes in here with, you know, pressure to win.
You mean after he took over?
Yeah, or even in general, like before the season. I mean, I think most people.
You don't think the team expected to make the playoffs?
I think maybe the organization did. I don't think the fans expected them to make the playoffs based on the roster that they had and who they were competing against. And I think that now Maurice comes into a job, and, like, while there's pressure to win from the fans, if you look in the hockey world and they look at the Winnipeg Jets roster, they're not telling you that team's going to win. So he's coming into a situation where there's not a ton of pressure talent-wise to win, but there's just pressure from the city. And I think he's shown that he's pretty apt to handle that quite well. I mean, if you hear what he says, you know, he always says positive things, right? Dustin Byfuglien's been a great, you know, he never questions Dustin Byfuglien in the media. He knows Byfuglien's sensitive. You can see he's boosting certain players. He never puts them down in the media. If he's benching Setoguchi or Kane, if he might bench Kane tonight, he's saying coach's decision. He's not giving anybody anything. He's very polished. And he's able to handle, and people who hear him talk like him. Now, he doesn't say those things behind closed doors. We know that. But he's a very good salesman. And I think that kind of consistency, as you guys mentioned, may be something exactly what they need. I personally think that Carlisle, that's what I said last week, I think Carlisle becoming available may change things. I don't know. But it appears from the outside that, you know, it appears to me that Maurice 100% wants to come back and that the Jets certainly are interested in having him back. But at the same time, we don't know from the outside or even, you know, someone being around the team. We don't really know who's making this call, guys, right? Like, is it Maurice's family making the call at the end of the day? Or do you guys think there's some reservations by the Jets still to see what is out there when some guys get fired? We're going to talk about coach firing certain coaches who may be fired next segment. And are the Jets waiting to see who else is available?
Who else they could take to the dance?
It's an interesting
question. The fact of the matter is, if that is the case, Maurice's, you know, need to discuss with his family kind of gives you a little bit of leeway in terms of time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what, I think it's Maurice's job to you know, decide if he wants it or not. And if he doesn't want it, then the Jets have a task ahead of them.
What do you think it is, Ez? Do you think it's all just Maurice and his family? Or do you think that both sides are still kind of, they're sure, but they're not 100% sure?
I from what I've heard, and I can't speak for Paul Maurice, and I can't speak for the Jets, so really this is just from what I've heard and been told, I think that he likes it here, and I do think that the family implications are what is possibly holding him up from signing already, and I think that's why he'll make that decision after the season's over.
And then you wonder how long that decision will take. You have to think it'll be done fairly quickly. I mean, the season's over for the Jets on Friday. Unbelievable. That's over on Friday. And so he'll be making that decision, you think, probably within a couple of weeks, because the Jets need to know who they have when they're dealing with their players. And he's probably given him a different view into some of the players, an outsider's perspective, some of the players.
Draft and stuff like that after. So, I mean,
we have yet to see a player-for-player trade in the National Hockey League from Kevin Cheveldayoff. You wonder if this is the time in any event, but maybe also Paul Maurice is in his ear being like, these certain guys, there needs to be change here. It'll be interesting to see. Will there be change in other NHL cities? We're going to touch on that next segment, talking about which coaches may be out of a job come the end of the season. You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Two o'clock, Saturday, April 5th, 2014. You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. I'm Richard Pollack, and joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg and David Manuk of IllegalCurve.com, and of course Timmy Debenham as our very capable board op and producer. You're listening to the Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC Game Day on TSN 1290. Jets Leafs gets kicked off at 6 p.m. Hustler and Lawless take over for us in an hour, and then Rick Ralph at 5 o'clock with the pregame show.
I just feel bad that Rick's not going to be able to do maritime math anymore. The Jets are eliminated.
That's true, but he can do math now on the top of the standings in terms of who for the draft picks.
Oh, okay.
Rick's always got that mind working.
And it's always doing maritime math.
Ezzy's the math expert in our group, though.
I don't even... Sorry, again. To me, I don't understand the obsession with it. I
with Rick Ralph?
No. The draft lottery. There's going to be a draft lottery.
Yeah.
There's going to be an order.
So Bill Daly, like, pulling out, like, trying to copy the NBA with those, you know.
No, but you're making jokes. Like, I love stats. I mean, I'm constantly looking at stats, hockey stats. There's going to be a, like, to say this percentage chance of this team getting this pick, it doesn't mean anything once the draft actually happens. Like, what's the, you're doing all this analysis. I'm not going after Rick here. I'm just saying
that.
I could care less because it doesn't
you
matter.
You couldn't care less. If you could care less, then you would care less.
Exactly. That's true. That's a good point. Touche.
Yeah, what I want to talk about this segment, guys, is potential coaches being fired. And we can't only look at the non-playoff teams, because I think if Dan Bylsma has a first-round exit again, he may be on the chopping block, although I wouldn't fire him if I was Pittsburgh. I think he's a very good coach. I want to look at the non-playoff teams because you know what happens, right, guys? Everybody thinks they're going to be a playoff team. I mean, the Jets thought they were going to be a playoff team this year. Other teams did, maybe not Calgary, but maybe every other team probably thought they would be. Florida, maybe. Here are the non-playoff teams, and I want to hear from you guys what you think about the job prospects. I'm going to go team by team here, okay? Phoenix Coyotes. Are we consensus that Dave Tippett's not going anywhere?
He's not going anywhere.
Yes?
No, absolutely not.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's a big one. Toronto and Vancouver.
It's unbelievable. If you watch, like, one moment you think Carlisle's completely safe, and the next moment you think he's on his flight back to Winnipeg, and then the next moment he's completely safe again. So
I think he's going to get fired.
You think to save his job?
I think Nonis and Carlisle, again, I'm just guessing here. I think Nonis and Carlisle may both get fired.
Interesting. Well, I mean, it's you know, Nonis is talking about it, so you wonder whether it's going to, he's trying to insulate himself a little bit,
yeah,
and hang Carlisle out to dry. I mean, it's a question of whether, you know, I mean, the truth is, what happens if Toronto makes playoffs?
Well, I mean, that's like Columbus, Detroit now.
Detroit looks like they're on top.
Columbus lost yesterday.
Columbus lost in regulation to Chicago.
Still have that game in hand.
They have the tiebreaker, too, so they at least need to get two more points.
At least basically have to win out.
Yeah, need to win out.
So even though we don't know,
if they don't make the playoffs, is Carlisle still there? In your opinion? I say no.
Should he be or will he be?
Forget should.
I don't know. Because when I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, when you go from third place in the Eastern Conference to ninth, someone's got to be accountable for that, right? And this is why I think it is difficult for me to answer. And I'm not trying to, you know, pussyfoot around the question, Richie.
But you are.
I really am not, because we've talked about it a lot on this show, how much we respect and like Randy
Carlisle. But it's not an indictment of Carlisle's a coach. It's a question of, do you think Nonis or Lewicki, who I think might get rid of both of them.
Can Lewicki get rid of himself?
Well, no, but not the money he's making. And they're controlling the empire there, right? MLSC.
Yeah.
The money is poured into the soccer now, and they're going to do some other things. It's the Raptors. Yep. He hired his new GM in Masai Ujiri. He's done a great job there. So he's going to have all the power in the world, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
And you don't know.
Yeah. So
let's go to the next team then.
The question going back to that, I think there is a good chance he's fired.
Washington Capitals.
There seems to be a disconnect between Adam Oates and Alex Ovechkin.
We'll talk about that in news and notes.
Right. And so the question becomes, do you want to stick with your coach? Or do you want to stick with your star player?
How many more coaches is a star player going to go through there?
That's a completely fair question. I mean, but, you know, they're like, look, when Adam Oates is saying, you know, his player quit on the play, it cost them a goal, when they're trying to chase down the playoffs, I mean, that's a pretty big indictment of Alex Ovechkin. And Ovechkin, if you really, I mean, again, we'll talk about it later, but, like, he really dodged it. He said, well, we all kind of quit on the play.
He did, and we're going to talk about that more later, but Adam Oates, you have to take into account George McPhee, no contract after the year. He picks Adam Oates. Does new GM want to get rid of coach?
Right. We talked to Chuck Gormley about that a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It's a really good point, because George McPhee has been the GM there for quite a long time now. 10 years?
Longer than that.
No, way
15?
Longer. He was GM of the team, went to 97 final, I believe. Hoyle was already left by then.
Over 15 years.
Yeah, 17 years.
So, again, that's almost a Darcy Regier situation where that's a huge changing of the torch, Richie. Again, you make a good point. There's a difference between me liking a coach and whether the GM fires him. I don't think he goes. I think Oates stays. Okay. And I think that Ovechkin and his continued, and you've talked about this as well, I know you've been very critical of the Caps, and they deserve it. If Alex Ovechkin does not develop his defensive game, the team will never succeed, never win a Stanley Cup. And I think he has that ability, and that will be the defining mark of his career.
It's not the old system where you could pay a guy $10 million to score goals, and the other guys could do other things because you could pay them as well. If you pay him $10 million just to score goals,
good
then
point.
You cut that into the money you spend on other players.
George McPhee, 97.
There you go, 97. So, Washington Capitals, I think Adam Oates actually is on the chopping block as well, just because of the whole change. Although the fact that Ted Leonsis, owner of the Capitals, is, you know, likes to bring in the old Caps, and Oates' ties to the organization may be strong. But the problem is, you bring in a new GM, look at what happens. The new GM and the coach is always an issue, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if the coach is there before the GM, it's an odd arrangement.
Now, Oates was an assistant with the Devils before.
Right, and it's very rare that Vigneault actually is there before Gillis. Gillis actually ends up keeping Vigneault, although he made him change his style. We talked all about Vancouver in the first second. So right now, I think that Oates and Carlisle probably both be available. New Jersey, I think Pete DeBoer is safe.
I don't think he'll be fired either. The Devils have had so many problems defensively. Yeah. Corey Schneider hasn't been very good this year. Unfortunately, I didn't have the Devils making the playoffs this year. Ilya Kovalchuk leaving really threw a dent in all of their plans. Michael Ryder, Ryan Clough, guys they brought in, they just haven't replaced that offense. The only guy, with the exception of Marty Broder, who's played way more games, the only guy that I've really been impressed with this year on the Devils is Adam Henrique.
Yeah,
And Jager. That's a good point, Richie. And I think Jager might come back next year, too.
Oh, he should, with the way he's playing. 0-11 in the shootout. They win half those. They're in the playoffs right now. Dave, you think DeBoer's safe?
Yeah, I think that New Jersey, as I said, they've just had too many problems.
I think DeBoer's actually one of the more underrated coaches in the NHL. I like the way he coaches. I like the way he never has enough talent. He's never had good defensive talent, and he's always got a lot out of his team.
And if you ask David Clarkson, who used to coach Kitchener, really good junior coach.
Yeah, interesting. Carolina, guys, that's an interesting one, too. Jim Rutherford maybe on the way out. Ron Francis possibly on the way in to be GM. Is Kirk Muller safe?
You talked about expectations, right, mm-hmm. Richie? The Carolina Hurricanes, I don't think any one of us picked the Carolina Hurricanes to make the playoffs just because there's so many holes on that roster after the Stalls and after Skinner and Semin, and you can maybe throw in a nice development with Justin Falk, who just got that contract. But I think the fact that the Carolina Hurricanes are 6 points out of the playoff spot, considering Cam Ward...
Considering that roster is awful.
Exactly. So I think we don't know again, but I think if that's the speculation, maybe Ron Francis does want to bring in his old boy Kevin Dineen. But I like Kirk Muller as a coach too, so I guess I'm more looking at it from the angle that I don't think he should be fired. Again, would and will he be fired? That's a whole other story.
I think Muller's going to get fired too. I think all three of these guys are going to get fired.
Really?
Yeah, I think all three of them will get fired, yeah. Oates, Muller, and Carlisle, I think, will all be looking from the outside in.
I agree with that. It's about expectation, right? The team's always going to say, yeah, we expect to make the playoffs, right?
When GM and coach are tied, they're not tied in these three situations, though.
Right. Right.
And that's just as important. You make a good point, and that's why these rumblings happen mid-season. Jim Rutherford's stepping down. We know that for a fact. And Ron Francis is an assistant GM there, mm-hmm. and he's going to take over. So that almost, Ron Francis isn't going to call up Kirk Muller and say, we're letting you go because we didn't make the playoffs. It's more so,
that's right.
Thank you, yes. But Kevin Dineen's coming in now. Because we feel he's a better... So Rich makes a good point. A guy I don't know if you wanted to bring him up, Richie, is Bob Hartley and Brian Burke.
Well, that's going to be coming up here. I mean, you can't get rid of Bob Hartley just because of how good of a job he's done, in my opinion. But that doesn't mean he won't be done. We're going to go... We have more to go through this list, so we're going to keep going next segment. But before we go to the break, Vancouver.
It's so hard. Where do you begin with that?
It's easy for you to both start at the same time because who knows?
Well, I mean, Ben Kuzma comes on, and honestly, after the interview, I'm more confused than I was before because he made so many good points for every situation. You know, I mean, if they fired Tortorella, it makes sense. If they retain him, then there's a point of that. But I mean, the problem is, I think if you retain him, I just don't think he's got that dressing room. And again, I have no idea because I'm never there. Like, you know,
you have Marty Baron telling us he's great in the room.
Yeah. No, and that's what I mean. And it's interesting because, you know, the complaints of him about him in New York are clearly not the same complaints in Vancouver. He's changed his interaction with the media, mm-hmm. which is obviously, you know, like I said, it's always easier to do your job. What do I think? I think he is fired.
Four more years left on those contracts.
$8 million on the contract.
4 years for each of them. 8 years.
What do you think? That's $60 million if they fire both.
Both are fired.
You think Gillis and Tortorella both fired?
Or not.
All right. I like how bold you are. I think Tortorella's gone, too. I think it's $8 million down the drain.
Just glad I'm not fired after that segment.
Well, I mean, this is the thing, though, guys. We're going to talk about next segment, starting with the Ottawa Senators. But it's expectations. That is the word. Because every team thinks they should make the playoffs in this system with all these points.
Remember that commercial lowered expectations from Mad TV?
It's a long time
ago. That's what Richie's expectations are of me on this show. Lowered expectations.
Paul McLean.
Farmers only.
Paul Maurice. Barry Trotz, Jack Capuano, Bob Hartley, Peter Horacek, Dallas Aikens, and Ted Nolan. We know he's not going to be fired. Coming up next, we're going to talk about their job statuses on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. 2:15 Saturday afternoon. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Birchwood Chevrolet. Buick GMC Game Day on TSN 1290. Ezzy, how much REM sleep did you get last night?
Someone had a funny tweet the other day. They asked, is it possible to fall asleep with your eyes open? I don't think it is. Think about that. How could your eyes be open and you're sleeping? That's just weird and creepy.
Some dogs do that, though.
I believe there's a symptom, a medical symptom, where people fall asleep and their eyes are open.
Really?
Yeah.
But how do you fall asleep?
Isn't there a movie called Eyes Wide Open?
That's when you know you're asleep, when your eyes are closed.
No, not necessarily.
Another movie's called Eyes Wide Shut.
Something like that.
That's the Nicole Kidman one, isn't it?
Yeah, Dave and I watched it last night. We didn't have much to do, so we just put a nice Nicole Kidman film on and had a nice cup of cocoa, and it was a nice little Friday night.
Oh, boy.
Brought out the blankets. We talked about the Winnipeg Jets are the next team in the standings outside the playoffs, 24th in the league. We talked about Paul Maurice and the job status there. So I do want to talk about Ottawa before we get to the next team. The Paul McLean, I mean, last year, everybody says, you know, greatest things in sliced bread. He did a great job of that team. Mm-hmm. This year, Jason Spezza is captain. Alfredson's gone. They never seem to put it together. And you look at the talent level and the youth on defense, I think it's been a big problem. Obviously, the goaltending hasn't been that good. But I don't think Paul McLean's job is in question. Do we agree on that?
I agree with you, Richie. And when I look at this season, and we're kind of lamenting the season because there's about a week left, 8 days mm-hmm. left in the season. And aside from the Vancouver Canucks, the biggest disappointment for me is the Ottawa Senators. I had both those teams making the playoffs. I had four teams, Canadian teams, making the playoffs. And isn't it unbelievable that it might be only one team, amazing, Montreal, making the playoffs this year? It's incredible. And I think Paul McLean is a good coach. And he was an assistant coach for many years before mm-hmm. he was a head coach. And he did do a good job last year. As you mentioned, the goaltending has taken a step backward. Craig Anderson has regressed. And Robin Lehner has not had a good season. And I said many times, I think that Robin Lehner is the guy that they should go to as their number one goalie now. I think he is a better goalie, younger goalie. And I think that, so to make a long story short here, I don't think that he should be fired because of all of the different things that are happening on the ice. Because if you look at the way Carlson has played and Bobby Ryan and even Spezza, it's more so that they did not get, and Clark MacArthur I really like. He came over and he's had a good year.
I don't like him, but he's been great.
But as a whole, I think that their season has been a big disappointment. But it's not all his, it doesn't all fall on him.
Yeah, I think that Paul McLean is safe. I think that they give him, you know, a little bit more time to kind of see what happens. You know, he's had one terrific year. He's had one, you know, not so terrific year. So the question is next year, what is he able to do with his team? Is he able to get them to gel properly? You know, how does this team look next year? I think if the team is struggling next year, then there's more of a likelihood. But I think this year he's completely safe. Now, Paul Maurice is double. The guy sits behind him. He might be in trouble.
Oh, the guy.
the doppelganger.
The doppelganger, right? Well, you know, Paul McLean is, you know, as you mentioned, he's put in his time as well in the minors, right? Now, you look at his seasons with Ottawa, and he's been in the playoffs 2 of 3 years. So it'll be the first year not in the playoffs. The first 2 years, you could argue, you know, last year they even beat the Habs. The year before, they lose in the first round. So, I mean, he's had the success, I think, 2 of 3 years. You can't 1 year out of the playoffs and suddenly, you know, throw him to the Wolves. Barry Trotz is on the other hand, who's been around, you know, since 1975 in Nashville, and the Dauphin guy. We know he doesn't have the talent on the team, especially with Pekka Rinne this year's injury and the youthful back end that they have. I think his job is safe. I mean, it's almost, you know, forbidden to even say his job wouldn't be safe considering him and Poile are tied like that. But we've seen what happened in Buffalo. Do you think any chance he's not coming back?
I just wanted to add one point to the Ottawa Senators, okay, Richie, before we go to the next team. The four bottom teams in the Eastern Conference that are in playoff spots, so 5-8, Rangers, Detroit, Philly, Columbus. Ottawa has more goals than all four of those teams.
They can't defend.
Defense.
That's right.
So it goes back to their inability, and they need to bring in a defenseman and the goaltending. So to me, when you Paul McLean, it really can only fall on his shoulders so much, and you have to look at who are you bringing in, because they've got Cowan and CeCe and these younger guys, and they just aren't ready yet.
You think Barry Trotz, any chance he isn't back in Nashville, Dave?
You know, it seems like sacrosanct to break that kind of, like you said, even mention Barry Trotz not being there. Of course, if he was fired, you know, there's some thought a Dauphin Manitoba boy, maybe he would be willing to come to Winnipeg. So
I think I think not just the Jets. Yeah. I think a lot of teams would covet Barry Trotz because of his ability to have his team buy in, and the year after year, look at the Nashville Predators guys this year. You could argue that they were supposed to be even worse than even a Flames or an Oilers this year, and they've kind of stuck around a little bit and got some
Pekka
wins.
Rinne too.
I was going to say, especially when you have that injury.
Pekka Rinne. We saw Carter Hutton come in here, and he's a guy that only had success at the AHL level, and then they had to go out and get Dubnyk, and then they traded him to Montreal. But I think if that happens, that'll be a monumental shift because they've only had one coach there since they were formed.
So far, you got Carlisle on the chopping block. I think it will be Carlisle, Adam Oates, and Kirk Muller, and John Tortorella. That's four guys. New York Islanders. Jack Capuano takes the team last year, surprisingly, to six games in the first round against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Really could have gone either way in that series, overtime games and games that came down to the end there. This season have a letdown year. You know, they have the Vanek trade. They have no goaltending, really. And then Nabokov's seen better days. Their defense is never really had a ton of talent on the back end there. To me, he shouldn't be fired, but that's not the question here. It's will he be fired? Now, I don't think he will be fired. What do you guys think?
He also lost Tavares for you know.
But they were already out by
that. No, I realize. But I'm just saying, like, he's had injuries that he had to deal with. I think his job is safe. I don't think he goes anywhere.
And when you look at, they've won three games in a row here, and they've kind of hung around. They're not making the playoffs, of course, but I like Capuano as a coach, and I just don't think that at this stage you could let him go. And they probably I would have done that earlier in the season if Garth Snow. I'm saying if I was Garth Snow, he would have done that earlier in the season. So I agree with Dave. I don't think his job's in danger, and I think the fact that he's coached all of these young players, really young team too. I think they want him part of the future of going to Brooklyn.
That's a good point. And the guy, and one thing about him is that the young players on that team, I know there's some guys who haven't had great years, but guys like Tavares progresses, guys like Okposo take the next step, you know, and you mentioned as he's developing those players and in his relationships with them, and he seems like a well-liked guy, him and Doug Waite, you know, coaching that staff. I think they are safe, but the GM needs to act, stop giving away first-round picks and start acting on the needs of the team. And he hasn't done that to this point. A GM... we think he's... Right now, he's the acting GM, and that's in Calgary, Brian Burke. But who knows if he's the actual GM. Bob Hartley there has done a tremendous job. Brian Burke has said as much. I don't think Brian Burke will be letting Bob Hartley go, even though he's not his guy, because you can always hold that in your back pocket for later on. What do you guys think?
I don't think either coach should be fired, in this case, Bob Hartley, because of, as you mentioned, Richie, and I know we're all big Mike Camilleri fans, but I remember on midweek you brought Mike Camilleri up, and he's been one of the hottest goal scorers in the NHL over the last month since the trade deadline, when he was, of course, not traded. But I think he's done a really good job with that team. It's a really young team. We're talking about all young teams now, as you mentioned. And I think that Bob Hartley, who wasn't in the NHL for a while and came back, and this team is rebuilding. And again, you want a veteran coach leading a rebuild. Because of the fact that you have so many different ups and downs, and they have had tons of ups and downs. It's been a rough year in Alberta in general. And I think that Bob Hartley is the right man for that job. And even though Jay Feaster hired him, I think Brian Burke will keep him.
You know, it's interesting because for so long, Edmonton and Calgary were the two teams that were at the bottom of the Western Conference standings, and it just seemed like they were done. And if you look now, they're 5 points back of Winnipeg. I mean, he literally has turned that team around a lot. I mean, and really, he's working with a lot of spare parts, and he's trying to make a lot of things work, right? And he doesn't have the depth that a majority of other teams have, and he still managed to get his team within striking distance.
The Flames are a tough team to play against.
They have the least talented league, arguably.
Yeah.
They work hard. They're a tough team.
It's a function of that. You sit there and you're watching this team and you're thinking to yourself, like, who are these guys? Yeah. And how does he have them playing to the level that he does? That they're, you know, they beat San Jose the other night. I mean, they're playing pretty good hockey right now. So I think he's going nowhere.
Florida Panthers. Kevin Dineen, of course, is let go from his position this year, goes on to coach the women to an amazing gold medal in Sochi. Peter Horacek is a guy tasked with coaching the squad. Has been there, obviously, since Dineen was let go. Do you guys think he's the permanent fit there, or do you think they're going to try and hire maybe a bigger name coming into the offseason?
Now, the Panthers have lost five games in a row here, and the expectations were not high for the Florida Panthers this year. I don't remember anyone picking them to be a playoff team this year. You mentioned, Richie, the future, and is he the right guy? I don't know a lot about Peter Horacek, I'll be honest. I know he's had some success at the minor league level. And I know that there have been whispers that he might be given a couple-year contract extension. It's a tough situation there in Florida because, you know, you talk about expectations and the pressure to win. There is no pressure to win in Florida. I mean, there isn't.
There's internal pressure because you own the team, you lose money if you don't win.
Right.
But we know
that it's a bit of a joke because the Panthers lose tons of money every year, and we've talked about that on the show before. This is probably the team that loses the most money, I think we'd agree. One of the teams that loses the most money. That's just the fan support's not there. It isn't. I'm not saying that the fans that go aren't good fans, by the way. I just want to clarify that. I'm just saying that they have trouble drawing flies, and the expectations there aren't as felt even in another team in Florida. In Tampa Bay. So for me, I think he has done a good job, but I'm not sure if he's the guy because of his lack of NHL head coaching experience.
Yeah, that's what I was going to speak to. I mean, he doesn't have a high pedigree in terms of wins. I mean, he was the Nashville associate coach since, I think, 2002. Yep. I mean, he won in the minors in the IHL, but yep. I don't think he won in the AHL even. So, you know, it's an interesting situation because really, what do you look at from Florida? If he's an associate, he's probably all right working with the younger players. Mm-hmm. So he might be a good fit in Florida where they have a younger team.
And they brought him up from the AHL when he had some of their young players in the system.
Right, exactly. So there's a familiarity there. And the fact of the matter is, if you're Florida and you're not spending a tremendous amount of money, are you going to want to outlay that kind of cash to bring in a big-name head coach?
Well, yeah, the new ownership, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. So that's the decision they have to make. I don't know the answer. I would suspect they'll give him a season. You know, we'll see. But I, my feeling general, if you put me on the spot, I'd say I think he's safe.
Yeah, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to say that I think he's safe as well. But that was one I wouldn't be shocked if they do let him go. Buffalo, guys, is the last team in the league. We know Ted Nolan just re-upped, so we know he's going to be there. Dallas Eakins signed a new deal before the season. The hot shot coach in the National Hockey League, the young guy. Do we think he's conking, 100% going to stay? Is that, you guys agree with that?
I hope that he stays. How many coaches can the Edmonton? I mean,
yeah.
I think that this season, you know, with the jersey throwing on the ice and Scrivens throwing the jersey back. I mean, I definitely don't think that I can say that with certainty that he's done a good job or a bad job because of how bad they've been. So how good can you do when your team is that bad? Right?
He doesn't manage the media very well. I think he's brought too many distractions to the squad, but I do agree. I mean, it's the beginning of his contract. Mm-hmm. You can't give up again. How many more coaches can you have in Edmonton, even if it is a new general manager, but same brass?
You know, it's interesting. Hopefully Taylor Hall and him won't throw water on each other anymore. And I think, like...
Didn't handle that well.
No. And it just looks silly. I mean, the way he took his jacket off, he was very demonstrative.
That's very much the way he is, isn't it? All year.
Yeah, and I think he's like... You know, look, he was a good AHL coach in the Toronto system, and he's coming to the NHL, and I think sometimes it's interesting to watch coaches who want to kind of put their mark, you know, and what he did when he came in, and he, you know, covered the old pictures and all that stuff, or he moved them out to a different spot, and he changed the media, you know, started putting like healthy vegetables.
Yeah,
who wants vegetables and stuff like that?
Oh, that's what he did, the early morning practices too.
That's what I mean. Like tried to get it for 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's like, but that's what I'm saying. Like you're trying too hard to be different.
I agree with that,
and that's my problem. I think it's like I'm not suggesting that it's bad in any way that a coach is different, but it was too flashy. It's like, if you're going to make changes, make them subtly. No, everybody doesn't have to know about those changes.
I think we count about four coaches we think maybe
I would say four.
Let go at the end of the season. Yeah. The question is, to me, is there a fifth that's either on a playoff team or on a non-playoff team that we get surprised by? That always seems to be the case, and we will see if that is the case this year in the NHL offseason. Coming up next, NHL News and Notes. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Half an hour left, Saturday afternoon. We're only, what is that now, 3.5 hours from puck drop and the Leafs, Jets. The Jets only visit to Toronto today. Hockey Night in Canada. It's going to be a lot of attention. Before we get to Dave Manouk, who's got some great tweets over there, this segment is brought to you by CompuStitch Embroidery Design, the official sponsor of the IC game-winning goal and IC 50-50 contest, has been serving Winnipeg and surrounding areas for over 15 years. No matter the size of the job, small or large, CompuStitch Embroidery Design provides expert attention to customers' needs. CompuStitch Embroidery Design, keeping you in stitches since 1996. For more information, visit CompuStitch.net. Dave?
A couple things. First of all, the CompuStitch sponsors the IC game-winning goal, IC 50-50 contest. For away games, of course, we only have an IC game-winning goal contest. So be sure to send us your IC game-winning goal to add a legal curve with you, who you think will score the Jets. For the Jets or for the Leafs to get the game-winning goal.
Ladd.
Who, Andrew Ladd?
I'll take him.
As he's given us an
IC game-winning goal. Do I have to tweet that? I'm beside you. Can
what
I just
about
tell
Kane?
You?
We don't know. We don't know if he's playing.
Yeah, apparently, just so you know, the word is from practice that people are unsure whether or not Evander Kane will be a healthy scratch or not for tonight's game. So I'm sure Hustler and Lawless and Rick Ralph will bring you up to date on that coming up. Dave, you have some tweets from our listeners?
Well, just to give us a little clarification as to what we were talking about a couple segments ago, Teal Belisario tells us, it is possible to sleep with your eyes open, called, and I'm not going to get this right, nocturnal lagophlemosis. FYI, keep up the good work. Well, I don't know if I'm doing good work after I butchered that pronunciation.
Like the good work in studio or like the good work in sleeping without your eyes being open?
Well, it's nice that people keep us honest.
NHL News and Notes.
Adam Oates, we mentioned earlier in the show, excuse me. Adam
Oates food team.
And Alexander Ovechkin went at it a bit in the media this week after Alexander Ovechkin, quote, quit on a play. This is what Adam Oates had to say after the game. Ovi quit on the play, coming back, said Oates. It just goes to show you got to hustle the whole time, the whole entire time. Do you guys think, and I'll read you Ovechkin's comment in a second, which is the next day. Do you guys think Adam Oates went too far with those comments?
No. Alex Ovechkin has the most goals in the NHL, Richie, but he has one of the worst plus-minuses in the NHL. What's his plus-minus? Minus 30?
38.
What? Minus, are you kidding me? I mean, Alex Ovechkin, as you mentioned, Rich, can't just be a one-dimensional player for this team anymore.
Yesterday was his first regulation point in 17 games.
Minus 35.
Oh,
that's crazy stat.
Yeah,
right?
He's great on the power play, and he's going to win the Rocket Richard trophy, but the team's not going to make the playoffs. What do all those goals mean?
Even strength point is blows my mind.
It's unbelievable. Yesterday was his first one. I think I read somewhere he didn't have one in March.
I don't think if Washington has one of the best power plays in the NHL, they're even close to a playoff spot right now. The power plays saved their year, and it's not really saved because they're probably not going to make the playoffs.
Well, here's Ovechkin's comments after. That's the next day. He's about Adam Oates. He's the head coach, and I get the blame from it. But in that moment, I think everybody quit on the play. That, to me, personifies what Alexander Ovechkin's all about.
It does. It really does, Rich. And for this team, and we mentioned our interview with Chuck Gormley that we had a couple of weeks ago. We didn't have a midweek show this week. We'll be back next week.
Yes, we will be.
But we had him on a couple times this year, and I actually asked him. I said, Chuck, is this a ridiculous question to ask? Is Alexander Ovechkin tradable? I mean, to me, I don't think it is ridiculous.
No. Nope.
I mean, you can't keep building your team around him and factoring him. He's under contract. Maybe he's not a guy that can be in the position that he's in. Maybe he needs to be on a team that has other superstars, and he doesn't have to be that guy. Because let's be honest, Richie, he's 27 years old. I don't think he's changing. I don't like how many coaches have Bruce Boudreau, Adam Oates. How many coaches Dale Hunter? How many coaches have tried to get this guy to play defense, and he won't do it. And why does he get away with it? Because of who he is and how good of a goal scorer he is.
Mm-hmm.
But how many gold medals does he have? How many Stanley Cups does he have? He's a great player, and he'll go down as one of the greatest goal scorers of all time, probably. Not one or two, but top 10. This guy came into the league and lit it up. 65 goals? But he doesn't play defense, though.
He hasn't got any better.
You got to be an all-around player.
You know what? Let's just put it to bed. We saw one of the best facilitators in the game on Thursday.
Well, the best. Sidney Crosby's the best.
It was the best since
Gretzky.
Like, it was just unbelievable how good mm-hmm. he was. And it's ironic that Adam Oates, who was also one of the best facilitators with mm-hmm. when he played with Brett Hull for years, if you think about it, it's ironic that he's, you know, Ovechkin's coach, and he can't kind of get him to kind of change his game a little bit.
He includes his teammates more, Dave, but you're right. But, you know, his game hasn't really – Crosby's always gotten better.
Right.
In my opinion.
When Alex Ovechkin is lollygagging and not back-checking, you know, and he does this game after game, what as we said, Rich, what kind of message does that send to the rest of the team? We can do the same thing.
Here's what it comes down to. If the coach makes the comment, then rather than trying to spread blame and say, you know what, I think the entire team quit on that play, say it. You know what? Yeah, I did. I mean, like, that's you right. did. Just acknowledge that's that you right. know what? You did. Nobody's gonna kill you for it. Nobody's going to tar and feather you for it. But, like, the fact of the matter is, if you actually take responsibility and say, yes, I did that, then you know what? It makes you look better, not worse. Because, okay, yes, you may have quit on one play. Like, you know, and you don't have to say I quit. You just say, you know what? I didn't skate to the best of my ability to get to that position of where I needed to be. You know what I mean? Like, there's a way of saying it so you don't look like you just gave up because you just didn't care. You're apathetic. So I think that it's clear to me that there's the way he could have phrased it to acknowledge that he did and just move past it. But he didn't because he wanted to, like, deflect.
Colorado and Chicago are on a crash course to face each other in the first round. We'll see who gets home ice advantage. That's yet to be determined. But Jonathan Toews, shoulder. Matt Duchene, knee, are both out for the rest of the season. Approximately the rest of the
Duchene
season.
Duchene out longer than Kane, I think.
Well, yeah. Then Taves, you mean?
Both.
Yeah. Well, Kane's out too. But yep. Just these two players. You're talking about the second-line center for Team Canada and the fourth-line center for Team Canada once Tavares was hurt. Who is the bigger injury to their team in that series?
Ooh, absolutely Duchene. I think the Chicago Blackhawks have more depth, and I think that this severely damages their chances. I didn't think the Avalanche would win the series, all things being equal, mm-hmm. all those players being healthy. I didn't think they would win, but I think that the Chicago Blackhawks can get away with injuries a little bit easier. Matt Duchene has been their best player this year, and he was, as you mentioned about the Olympics, he's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I think that his injury and the fact that he might miss the first round, and I think there's a chance that Taves and Kane might miss a few games there too, by the way, but I think that Matt Duchene being out there, how dynamic he is, how many goals he's been getting this year, I think you're putting a lot of pressure on guys like Nathan MacKinnon now and Ryan O'Reilly, guys that have both had really mm-hmm. good years, but I think you want a guy like Duchene out there. So I think that Duchene's injury hurts them more.
You know, that's such a tough call because Taves does so much for that Chicago team. I mean, he's not asked just to provide offense. He's obviously asked in that defensive role. So, I mean, like, to lose him, to have him, I don't know. I'd be more inclined to say Taves.
I would, too, only because of this, Izzy, and I totally hear
you. You guys pick Chicago, then, in that series?
Chicago?
Or, pardon me, you pick Colorado?
Well, no, but I think the impact of the injury hurts Chicago more than the impact of the injury hurts
Colorado.
But impact
on their ability to win the series?
Yes, yes. So still, it hurts the impact more. It doesn't mean they will win, but it means it will impact them more. Now, think about this. Chicago's never had that second-line center, but their wingers are so good they can insulate. Who is going to play first or second-line center for the Hawks?
That's a good point. It's a big problem right now. They've had guys like Andrew Shaw and Brandon Saad and Michael Hanzus.
Right, but you still have Stastny, O'Reilly, and MacKinnon who can all play center for Colorado. Nobody's that good in the middle.
I think that ultimately what it comes down to is defense and goaltending, and I think Chicago's got the advantage on both, and I think that with the leadership of Patrick Sharp and Marian Hossa, I still think that they get the edge in that series. So I think Duchene's injury, again, I think that one is going to hurt them more.
Quickly on that note, we're talking about home ice advantage. Colorado up 3-0 right now on the St. Louis Blues. And other score update, Boston Bruins beat the Philadelphia Flyers this afternoon 5-2. So the Bruins still gearing up, ready to go for the playoffs.
Colorado has the games in hand, too.
I'm going to skip over Ryan Callahan, guys. We can talk about him later. Ron Wilson making news this week. Talked to Pierre LeBrun. The timing of the interview, and then this is one of his quotes, but I want to talk to you more so about the timing of the interview. One of the quotes was, "In Toronto, everything is always out of perspective. They're either winning games and they're planning the parade route, or you lose a couple of games and everything gets over-exaggerated." It's already exaggerated. Why is it over-exaggerated? That's for another day. What do you guys, that's just one quote, but what do you guys think of Ron Wilson, who has been completely, in some kind of he's been a recluse in golfing somewhere, nobody's heard about him, doing an interview right when the Leafs are tanking pretty hard and Carlisle's job is apparently on the line?
I don't take anything into it.
No?
How many times did the Leafs make the playoffs under Ron Wilson?
I'm saying, like, him, is that a little bit of a...
It's a shot.
A shot, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, great. You can take your shot. You're not coaching in the NHL anymore. I think there's a reason for that. I really do. I don't think Ron Wilson's going to be head coach in the NHL again. And I think that he's looking at the Toronto. Was he complimenting Randy Carlyle when they made the playoffs last year? I didn't hear him. So.
Yeah, it definitely seems a bit curious timing. I mean, just kind of pop up out of the weeds and say, "Oh yeah, here's my opinion." Now, obviously, LeBron sought him out. I mean, it's not like.
But I bet it wasn't the first time.
Right. So the question is, why it's curious. Why answer it now? I mean, I guess, what they would say is, he's just trying to provide context within Toronto as to the madness that is that market. But, it's definitely curious as to why Wilson kind of spoke at this time.
I've never been a big Ron Wilson fan. There's a certain arrogance. You can take your issue with Randy Carlyle too, being, having an attitude. But I've always been a guy, Randy Carlyle, at the end of the day. I like what Randy Carlyle brings to the table. And I think I think he's a better guy just from afar than I think Ron Wilson. The timing of this, I did not like it. It smelled for me. And if I don't hear from Ron Wilson for a while, I certainly won't be upset. When we come back, one last segment. Rapid fire on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. One last segment on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Richard Pollock, David Manuk of IllegalCurve.com, Ezra Ginsberg, and Timmy Debenham. Just some bookkeeping notes, or what is housekeeping notes, as Drew calls them.
Well, it's because Drew does the housekeeping at his house. Puts a little
housekeeping, not bookkeeping.
Puts a little apron on, and I have to do my bookkeeping tomorrow. I got to do my taxes. I really don't look forward to
in
that.
2011.
it's so painstaking. Even with the programs to your taxes, it's just like you have to.
You have tax pain? Before we get to our little housekeeping there, this segment's brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, the longest-running independent comedy club in North America. For over 25 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtime, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Guys, we are on this Wednesday, 6 o'clock, for NHL Midweek. Next Saturday, we're on for the official postmortem of the Winnipeg Jets season. The season ends on Friday night. In Calgary, we'll be doing our kind of our season review, our final season review. And then we can look at the – and we're going to be doing – actually, that's not true. We're going to be doing a short final season review. Then we're doing our playoff preview, provided most of the matchups are set. That'll be Saturday afternoon. And then the following Wednesday, that's the last NHL Midweek show of the season. That's April 16th, I believe it is.
Yep.
We're going to do our – that's our last show. That's the night the playoffs start. And then after that, we're gonna be changing the schedule a little bit for the Saturday show. So we'll keep you up to date on IllegalCurve.com on the air and let you know exactly what the schedule is. But we're looking forward to the playoff preview show next Saturday.
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire, guys, and I want to start off with Bobby Ryan. Bobby Ryan is a UFA after next season. The Sens give up a boatload to get him this past offseason. He says he'd like to come back to Ottawa. Obviously, the numbers have to work. Do you think the Sens, this is the question, specifically, do you think the Sens have to re-sign Bobby Ryan in order to save face for the big trade?
Ooh, really good question there, Richie. And I think they do. And you bring Bobby Ryan over from the Anaheim Ducks with 1 year left on his contract, and he has this terrible injury, and he tells us that he was playing with this injury, and he actually, I said this before, he didn't have a career year, but he still had 26 goals. And I think the problems with that Ottawa Senators team are they lacked an identity this year. They didn't play well defensively. The goaltending wasn't good. It goes on and on and on with this team, and they've been a big disappointment, as we were talking about before. But they got to sign him because, as we know, those types of wingers that can put the puck in the net, mm-hmm. and he's a force, big guy, power forward, I think you got to sign him.
There's no question. I mean, the fact of the matter is you gave up a lot of players, a lot of the prospects that you thought, you know, your depth. You gave up a lot of that depth to try and get a player to complement some of your core group that you had already had. And so you thought you saw him as a piece to help you get over to that next level. Mm-hmm. He wasn't this year because of, you know, a variety of situations. But, like, can he be that piece moving forward? And so that's why I think they have to get him under contract.
It's always a difficult situation when you have to do something.
Well, it gives the team a lot less power because right. you know it gives the player a lot of leverage right there.
This is a tough question, but I put you guys on the spot. That's why it's called rapid fire. Bob Nicholson steps down as head of Hockey Canada this week. Ben Kuzma says, hey, you know, maybe he's going to become president of the Vancouver Canucks. That could be a possibility. I'm not asking you where Nicholson's going next. I'm asking you who you think would be a good candidate to replace him.
Right, Scott Smith is the chief operating officer. There's rumblings. Darren Dreger, I know, he went on TSN and said mm-hmm. Scott Smith is probably the front runner to take that job. I think it will be an exhaustive search. You know, just on this topic, I think that's pretty obvious, Richie, because I think I'm not really giving much insight there. Scott Smith, and I think there might be some others that are already within Hockey Canada. But I do think that Bob Nicholson deserves the utmost credit for what he's done because he has been the face of Hockey Canada. For the last 17 years, is it 16, 17 years? And you know he has touched the game at every level, the Olympics, and then you go down to the grassroots, junior, everything. Big shoes to fill there. And I can't say enough about him because he has done an excellent job. And I think whether it's Scott Smith or someone else, either already with Team Canada or right. someone that comes from the outside, I have no problem knowing that next guy, and I imagine Bob Nicholson will be influential in hiring that person as well, or he'll have some. They'll ask for his input.
You have to think so. I mean, it's before he was head of Hockey Canada, not many people around the game, I mean, maybe inside Hockey Canada and the game knew him, but lots of people didn't know him. I think, Dave, I guess the question is maybe not who's going to be the guy, but do you think they're going to go internal, and do you think it'll be more of a business guy? Because, I mean, this job, Bob Nicholson was apparently home like 15 days last year of the year. That kind of a travel. I mean, that's not an appealing job.
the thought is that Scott Smith, as he mentioned, he's COO right now. And so, you know, he's already got a lot of a big grasp of what it takes to kind of run the organization. So, I mean, do you promote someone from within who already kind of knows it, or do you want to try and bring someone in to kind of make a splash? I don't know that you want to make a splash. I mean, really, you kind of just want to continue what Nicholson's done because he's made the program so successful. So, I personally, I don't think Hockey Canada really needs to make a splash at this point. I think they just kind of need to maintain the course.
Next question, guys, of course, being rapid fire. Last night, I'm not sure if people know about this. Last night, Don Van Massenhoven refereed his final game in the National Hockey League at the Joe Louis Arena close to his home, Buffalo Sabres, Detroit Red Wings. The question here, though, is, with Don Massenhoven retiring, many of the other referees that we grew up watching with their names on the back of the jerseys retiring, how many referees can you name?
Yeah, you've been on this for a long time, yeah. Richie, and I've always agreed with you. I think the referees should have their names. I remember Randy Hogarth and Kerry Fraser, who we've had on the show a bunch of times. And I think, you know, Don Van Massenhoven is one of those guys. Of course, you got to start with the guy who has your last name, Kevin Pollock. No, but I mean, there's Mike Lego was here the other night, and you've got Paul Dvorsky and Wacom, and you know. But getting back to...
You don't know many. I mean, that's more than most people would be able to name it.
Yeah, Tim Peel.
We should be able to know them because the Jets put their names on the scoreboard before every game.
Well, so. I've also got a list of current referees in front of me, so...
Oh, do you? But the thing...
See, Richie? Richie thought he was going to put me on the spot.
I was very impressed. I was like, wow, Ez is doing pretty good with that.
Like, how do you name all those refs? This is the thing, though. When we were growing up and we were at, you know, watching the games at the Winnipeg Arena, for example, the guys had the names on the back of their jerseys and you knew who they were.
Dave Jackson's another guy. I think you mentioned him.
I didn't mention him, but you have a list now, so I don't care what you have to say. But the point is again, it's just personalizing this. Like, this referee goes Don Van Massenhoven, Bill McCreary, Don Kowarski was in Winnipeg recently. Yeah. See, Mick Magoo. All these guys you can name off the top of your head. Now you can't name them anymore. Did anything really bad happen to them when they were wearing a jersey? Is that their name on the back of the jersey? So why can't you get a little bit more of that personal aspect?
Fans get to know them and all that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's about the crest on the front, not the name on the back.
I also like Rob the Model Martel.
Final question, of course, the rapid fire guys. Drew's traveling. Drew's out of town, and I'll be hosting the next few shows. David will be on all the shows, as he apparently will as well. Drew's traveling to the southern United States for about a fairly long period of time. Over under 12 and a half meals that contain fried chicken for Drew.
For those who don't know either, we should say that Drew's wife is from Kentucky, and she's taking him on this trip to go around the southern U.S. So I'm going to say over. Absolutely.
Over 12 and a half.
Drew eats chicken for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, he dips chicken in ice cream. He loves that stuff. So, I mean, he's going to be eating a lot of fried chicken down there. He's going to be loving it, and I'm going to go over.
I would go over on day one. So, I mean, like, I don't think there's any question that Drew is going over 12 and a half fried chicken meals.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And cheers.
No, not good enough. He's a bad boy.
I never seen something like this.
Surprisingly not good.
David Minuk, cheer or jeer?
I'm going to cheer. I'm going to cheer Jerome McGinley because, you know what, he got his 12th straight season, you know, not including the lockout, of 30 goals or more. The guy's simply a machine. Even the two before that, he had 29 and 28. A lot of talk of him being done, and it's clear that, you know, he and the Boston Bruins are anything but done. And I just think he's had a great career. I think he's been a great ambassador for the game. He was great in Calgary. He's great in Boston. And he gets my cheer today.
I'm going to cheer Don Van Massenhoven. Great 20-year career. Why not? You know, he's one of the referees, as you mentioned, that is the most identifiable in the NHL right now. And I think he's done a great year. And it's nice to see that he was able to coach at Joe Louis Arena for his last game.
He coached?
Ref, yeah.
He can be a coach. Mike Backhouse done a pretty good job there, though. I like that one. I'm going to give you that one because I think the refs sometimes they just fit you. You don't ever hear from them again after the retirement.
Maybe he'll be a guest on the show. Maybe we can get him on at some point.
Well, Don Kowarski was up there in the box, and I heard you stole a donut from him.
It's true.
My cheer is going to go to Gordie Howe. Gordie Howe just turned 86 this week. You know, he is battling some dementia, but his family and friends were there. He was able to enjoy the moment with him. And, I mean, if you get a chance to cheer Mr. Hockey and honor the past, I think it's a great opportunity. Dave even has a quick story about Gordie Howe if you have a second here.
You know what, I was in Detroit for a Red Wings Flyers pregame contest, and I was walking down from the press box in the Joe Louis Arena, and it's a little chaotic. I didn't know where to go. Of course, it was my first time being there. And I was with actually a Swedish reporter who was covering the game because the Red Wings were leaving for Sweden to go play open the season there. And I felt we kind of got to the bottom of the stairwell, and we didn't know should we go right or left. And I feel this tap, like a presence behind me, and then I feel a tap on my shoulder. And he goes, young fella, if you go to the right, you're going to get the police and an alarm is going to go off. So you want to go to the left. Great guy, like Gordie Howe.
Richie, Gordie Howe, good cheer. There's a reason why he's called Mr. Hockey the living legend.
We have to leave it there, don't we? This has been a fun show, guys. I always appreciate it. Our thanks to Ben Kuzma of the Vancouver Province, Martin Biron of TSN, RDS, and MSG. A great thanks to our sponsors, Linden Market Dental Center, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Bernstein's Deli, Hockey Stitch Embroidery. Next show, second last show of the season, second last NHL midweek show of the season, is at 6 o'clock this Wednesday. Keep it tuned here, though, to TSN 1290. It's Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC Game Day. Hustler and Lawless are next, followed by Rick Ralph and the game. Leafs, Jets, 6 p.m. on TSN 1290.